Today's scripture reading is from the 1 Samuel chapter 28, verses 3 through 25. You can follow along in your Bibles, and if anybody needs a Bible, the usher will get one for you. The words will also be on the screen. Now Samuel was dead, and all Israel had mourned for him and buried him in his own town of Ramah. Saul had expelled the mediums and spiritists from the land. The Philistines assembled and came and set up camp at Shunem, while Saul gathered all Israel and set up camp at Gilboa. When Saul saw the Philistine army, he was afraid. Terror filled his heart. He inquired of the Lord, but the Lord did not answer him by dreams or Urim or prophets. Saul then said to his attendants, "Find me a woman who is a medium, so I may go and inquire of her." "There is one in Endor," they said. So Saul disguised himself, putting on other clothes, and at night he and two other men went to the woman. "Consult a spirit for me," he said, "and bring up for me the one I name." But the woman said to him, "Surely you know that what Saul has done. He has cut off the mediums and the spiritists from the land. Why have you set a trap for my life to bring about my death?" Saul swore to her by the Lord, "As surely as the Lord lives, you will not be punished for this." Then the woman asked, "Whom shall I bring up for you?" "Bring up Samuel," he said. When the woman saw Samuel, she cried out at the top of her voice and said to Saul, "Why have you deceived me? You are Saul." The king said to her, "Don't be afraid. What do you see?" The woman said, "I see a ghostly figure coming up out of the earth." "What does he look like?" he asked. "An old man wearing a robe is coming up," she said. Then Saul knew that it was Samuel, and he bowed down and prostrated himself with his face to the ground. Samuel said to Saul, "Why have you disturbed me by bringing me up?" "I'm in great distress," Saul said. "The Philistines are fighting against me, and God has departed from me. He no longer answers me, either by prophets or by dreams. So I have called on you to tell me what to do." Samuel said, "Why do you consult me now that the Lord has departed from you and become your enemy? The Lord has done what I predicted through me. The Lord has torn the kingdom out of your hands and given it to one of your neighbors, to David, because you did not obey the Lord or carry out his fierce wrath against the Amalekites. The Lord has done this to you today. The Lord will deliver both Israel and you into the hands of the Philistines, and tomorrow you and your sons will be with me. The Lord will also give the army of Israel into the hands of the Philistines." Immediately, Saul fell full length on the ground, filled with fear because of Samuel's words. His strength was gone, for he had eaten nothing all that day and all that night. When the woman came to Saul and saw that he was greatly shaken, she said, "Look, your servant has obeyed you. I took my life in my hands and did what you told me to do. Now, please listen to your servant and let me give you some food so you may eat and have the strength to go on your way." But he refused and said, "I will not eat." But his men joined the woman in urging him, and he listened to them. He got up from the ground, sat on the couch. The woman had a fattened calf at the house, which she butchered at once. She took some flour, kneaded it, and baked bread without yeast. Then she set it before Saul and his men, and they ate. That same night, they got up and left. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Thank you, Kevin. That was a long one. I appreciate that. Yes. So we are beginning a new series today called Stranger Things, inspired by the show's title, and we're going to be exploring a few stories in the Old Testament that on the surface seem very strange. This is a season where people love to tell spooky and unsettling stories, stories of the supernatural, stories that dabble on the dark side, and largely to evoke fear in people. And you might be surprised to learn that we have stories like that in our Bibles. The only difference is they're not intended to evoke fear, not the kind of fear that other scary stories evoke. They're intended to shine a light on God's power, His justice, and His love. And in the middle of the strange, we find hope, redemption, and the God who brings light where darkness seems to reign. Perhaps you've heard these stories, perhaps you have not. Either way, I hope that you are enlightened by the series and able to see that while at first glance the story seems very peculiar, there's a story of redemption that transcends the circumstance. And the first story we're looking at this morning is about a medium who consults with the dead. Now, what does the Bible have to say about that, you may wonder? You know, some of us may have played the Ouija board when we were kids. We didn't see any harm in it. After all, it wasn't created by spiritists. It was created by Parker Brothers. So it was all good, right? Some of us may have visited a psychic at one time, maybe had a palm reading or a tarot reading, and we may never have realized that God was pretty straightforward on avoiding such practices. In Deuteronomy chapter 18, verses 10 through 11, it says, "Let no one be found among you who practices divination or sorcery, interprets omens, engages in witchcraft or casts spells, or who is a medium or spiritist, or who consults the dead." In Leviticus 20:27, it also says, "A man or woman who is a medium or spiritist among you must be put to death. You are to stone them." So, sounds like zero tolerance to me. Was this an issue back then? Yes, it was, because Israel was surrounded by nations whose religious rites were filled with the no-nos that are listed in Deuteronomy 18, verses 10 through 11. And even though God told them, don't get sucked into the practices, live different from them, we all know that peer pressure is very real. And so as they interacted with the cultures around them, they would, sometimes without even realize it, be dabbling in the practices of the cultures around them. And today, friends, it is no different. So let me give you a little background of the story. So God delivered the Israelites from slavery in Egypt. He brought them through their long journey through the wilderness into the promised land, made them a nation and a people, and of course they were to be a holy nation set apart for God's purposes. But just as I said, this nation, just like any other nation, got curious about the nations around them, and they noticed the other nations had kings. Now, God had told them, if you build your life around me, if you depend on me, I will deliver you from your enemies, I will protect you. And God did give them priests and judges to maintain order and to live in holiness, but that wasn't good enough for them. They said, these guys have kings, we need a king too. And so God gave them what they wanted, and he anointed Israel's first king, who was Saul. Now, at first, Saul was a man who honored God and sought to lead the people with God leading him. He even expelled the mediums and the spiritists from the land. Eventually, though, Saul's heart begins to turn away from God, and he begins to care more about what others think of him than what God thinks of him. He breaks commands. And Samuel, a prophet, spells out the judgment to him that he will lose his throne. Because he rejected the word of the Lord would reject him as king. So Samuel goes and anoints David to be the next king. And David begins by serving in Saul's army. And at first, Saul is impressed by David, even treats him like his own son. But then his love turns to paranoia as Saul starts to realize that it is David who's going to take the throne. Saul's paranoia gives way to insanity, and it becomes a slippery slope for Saul. His army starts losing battles, and now Saul is facing a battle with the Philistines, and it says that when he saw the Philistine army, he was filled with fear and terror. He realized he was doomed, and so he inquires of the Lord and hopes that God will tell him what to do in dreams or Urim or through the prophets. And you might wonder, what is a Urim? So there were these two stones, the Urim and the Thummim, and they were used to determine the will of God by asking yes or no questions. But his trusty stones did not provide answers. His dreams only became nightmares. And now the prophet Samuel is dead. And because Saul had intentionally disobeyed God, insisted on doing things his own way, the Lord did not answer him. And so this desperate king turns to the dark for answers. He says, "Find me a woman who is a medium, so I may go and inquire of her." So this king who previously drove out the mediums and the spiritists so that God may be revered is now seeking one to solve his problems. And his advisors tell him there's one residing in Endor. Endor is quite infamous. It shows up in other stories in the Bible where unfortunate things happen, but that's a story for another day. If you're curious, I encourage you to go check that out. But to get to Endor, Saul had to cross enemy territory. He had to get through the Philistines. So he disguises himself, and he travels at night, not just to evade his opponents, but also so that his own people wouldn't recognize him entering the house of a medium, and also so that the medium herself would not recognize him because he had basically put her out of business. So he travels at night. He travels in the dark. How many of our moms used to say, "Be home no later than midnight"? Remember when the news used to say, "It's 10 o'clock. Do you know where your children are?" They weren't trying to be creepy. There was a reason they said those things. And that is, darkness and disobedience tend to go hand in hand. Not always, but a case can be made for it. So when she answers the door, he cuts to the chase. "Consult a spirit for me and bring up for me the one I name." And she replies, "Haven't you heard that Saul has cut off mediums and spiritists from the land?" Now notice, she doesn't say anything about her occupation breaking the laws of God, just the laws of Saul. Further evidence that her heart wasn't with God. She also doesn't deny that she's a medium. She doesn't want to drive a paying customer away. But she wants to know if her customer is willing to bend the rules. And she asks, "Why have you set a trap for my life to bring about my death?" But he assures her safety by swearing on the Lord. So this guy's cruising for a bruising. He consults a medium, further breaking God's command. He infiltrates enemy lines, and now he's taking the Lord's name in vain. The very one he severed ties with and had no right to call his ally. Little did he know, it would be the last time Saul called upon the name of the Lord. She says, "Who do you want me to bring up?" And Saul says, "Bring up Samuel." Saul had once removed mediums and spiritists from the land. He knew they were wrong. God had clearly forbidden them. But that just shows us that Fear changes people. Fear makes us forget what we once knew to be true. And we do the same thing, don't we? When life feels uncertain, we grasp at quick answers. A horoscope, a self-help book, an influencer who promises peace and prosperity. They may sound spiritual, but they lead us from the ultimate source of life. Saul wanted information. God wanted a relationship. Saul wanted control. God wanted surrender. And when we look for wisdom anywhere but God, we end up not enlightened. We end up lost. Now, here's the part that really grabs my attention, and maybe it did yours too. It says, when the woman saw Samuel, she cried at the top of her voice. Now, why was she screaming? Right? As a person who makes a living summoning the dead, she should have expected him. Or did she? And this gives us a hint, you know, that her vocation was smoke and mirrors. That she wasn't truly calling forth spirit. She was just giving people a false sense of hope and closure. It kind of reminds me of the movie Ghost. And if you see the movie Ghost, when Whoopi Goldberg takes people's money and claims to have conversations with their loved ones, and then Patrick Swayze shows up in the middle of one of her consults and literally sends her running for her money, screaming for the hills, same thing. And what happens next is just as puzzling as her reaction. She says, why have you deceived me? You are Saul. Now, how did seeing Samuel reveal to her that her customer was Saul? We don't really know. We don't know how she came to that conclusion. But I think it's amusing that she is accusing Saul of deceiving when she is the one set out to deceive. She's freaked out, and who wouldn't be? Because now she is stuck between a deceased prophet and a deranged king. Saul tells her not to be afraid and to tell him what she sees, to which she says, I see a ghostly figure coming up out of the earth. And he asks her to describe the spirit. And her description is an old guy in a robe. An old guy in a robe could describe any old guy. But Saul says, yeah, that's him. That's Samuel. And it says he bowed down and prostrated himself with his face to the ground. Now, was he paying homage or putting his ear closer to the ground to hear better? We don't know. But we know that Samuel was not impressed. He said, why have you disturbed me by bringing me up? And Saul says, I'm in trouble. The Philistines are closing in on me. God has departed from me. He no longer answers me, so I'm coming to you for help. And what Samuel said next was probably the last thing Saul wanted to hear. Why do you consult me now that the Lord has departed from you and become your enemy? The Lord has done what he has predicted through me. The Lord has torn the kingdom out of your hands and given it to one of your neighbors, to David. Because you did not obey the Lord or carry out his fierce wrath against the Amalekites, the Lord has done this to you today. The Lord will deliver both Israel and you into the hands of the Philistines, and tomorrow you and your sons will be with me. The Lord will also give the army of Israel into the hands of the Philistines. Not exactly good news. Now, we know that this medium relied on dark forces to do her work. So people ask, does this message come from God, or is it the work of Satan? And here's how we know the answer to that question. And just so you know, the answer is the message did come from God. And we know that because, one, the message was consistent with God's word. Okay, God had already told him that because he disobeyed him and didn't revere him, his kingdom would be taken from him and given to another. He already told him this. And what Saul should have done the first time he told him this was to repent. Instead, he put more distance between him and God and continued to disobey. The second thing is, the outcome was that Saul was humbled. Learning that in less than a day he would perish, it literally brought him to his knees. He realizes he is at the end of himself. And the third thing, God got the glory. You'll notice in Samuel's response, he mentions God. Not once, not twice, but seven times. And seven is a number that represents completeness in the Bible. That's how we know this message is from God. True spiritual power never comes from control. It comes from trust. It doesn't come from summoning something unseen. It comes from submitting to someone unseen. Saul's disobedience had already separated him from God's anointing, and now his attempt to reclaim power outside of God's will only exposes how truly empty he is. You can't have God's power without God's presence, and you can't have God's presence without God's way. And Saul, he had probably fasted before he traveled to visit with this medium, traveled a distance to visit with her. Then he receives this horrible news, knocks the wind out of him, he becomes weak, and this medium offers him a meal, which Saul rejects at first, but then his advisors talk him into staying and eating. So she kills a fatted calf. She bakes bread. She makes a meal fit for a king. And so we might be inclined to think, maybe this lady isn't so bad. After all, she's showing him compassion. She's showing him hospitality. Perhaps. Or perhaps she's thinking, okay, the sooner I feed this guy, the sooner I get him out of my house and as far away from me as possible. And that is what the text suggests. We don't know what became of the medium of Endor. She's never mentioned after this point. But we do know what happened to Saul. King Saul, once chosen and anointed by God, now alone in the darkness. His prophet Samuel is dead, his army is crumbling, and the voice of God, once familiar to him, is strangely silent. And in desperation, Saul turned to the very thing he outlawed, the occult. No longer seeking God's wisdom, he grasps at anything that feels like power, even if it's dark. And in that moment, Saul revealed something about the human heart. When we can't hear God, we often go seeking other voices. And it doesn't end well for Saul. And so you might wonder, okay, where is the redemption in this story? The redemption is knowing the true path to power and wisdom. You stay rooted in God's word. If you want to hear God's voice, you stay in the word and you don't get distracted from it. You know, even Wicca will present a spirituality that provides a welcoming home, a place for souls to heal, where followers receive wisdom. How easy it would be for a vulnerable person to be drawn to that. Because it's all the things our souls long for, wisdom, empowerment, healing, a home, all the things we long for wrapped neatly in a shiny package, but it points us to something altogether different. Seek the presence of the Holy Spirit. When you don't know what to do, don't panic, but pray. And invite the Holy Spirit to guide you. Three, surround yourself with godly counsel. You know, Saul had driven away Samuel, his godly counsel. Don't drive away the people who speak truth into your life, even if it's sometimes not what you want to hear. And four, trust God's silence, as not as absence, but an invitation to deeper faith. Who are you going to call when life gets hard? When it feels like it's spiraling out? When you feel lost? True healing isn't found in the voices around us, but the voice of the one who calls us by name. True empowerment isn't found in control. It's found in the Holy Spirit that fills us when we let go. And true wisdom isn't found in the dark. It is found in the light of God's word. Let us pray. Lord, we confess that too often we seek wisdom in the wrong places. We run to the world for quick fixes instead of to you for lasting truth. Forgive us, Lord, for the ways we've tried to control what only you can guide. Speak, Lord, for your servants are listening. And fill us with your spirit, empower us with your grace, and heal us by your mercy. May we be people who seek your wisdom, walk in your strength, and rest in your love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.